This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. It's 7:49 this wonderful Monday morning, the 23rd of May, with Shazana Mokhtar and myself, Philip C. Right now, let's talk about big tech, because the share price of Grab climbed more than 24% after reporting a better-than-expected revenue as the pandemic receded across Southeast Asia. The ride-hailing giant posted a revenue of $228 million last week for its first quarter 2022 results.
I mean, we all know that Grab had been struggling since becoming a publicly listed company in the US through a SPAC listing in December. So I'm sure it was quite a pleasant surprise to see that they beat expectations. Still earning losses, but, you know, better. The revenue was definitely better than what was expected. The jump in revenue was due to added sales from Jaya Grocer, which it acquired in January. So maybe their steps they're taking are slowly bearing fruit. And if we look at shares of another Southeast Asian giant, that's the e-commerce and gaming firm C Group, they also popped. Their shares popped after their first quarter revenue also beat analyst expectations last Tuesday, with contributions coming mainly from online shopping platform Shopee and gaming arm Garena.
Well, you know, this upside and strong performance in equity markets is kind of a contrarian to the global tech sellout that's continuing across the Nasdaq index, right? Down for its seventh straight week, making it its longest losing streak in 21 years. So the big question is, how are regional tech players faring in this environment of rising interest rates and higher inflation? For some insights into the growth prospects of Grab and regional tech stocks, we have with us Lai Jin Lee, analyst at Maybank Investment Banking Group. A very good morning, Jin. Shares of Grab Holdings soared after its quarter one revenue beat estimates, but that is mostly on the back of its added sales from Jaya Grocer. So does this mean that without the sale from this acquisition, its core business of ride-hailing and food delivery is still lackluster?
Hi, good morning, Philip and Shazana. So for that question, actually, ride-hailing demand recovery is rather solid. And according to Grab, food delivery demand remains stable despite ASEAN economies transitioning into post-COVID-19 lifestyles. So if we compare April versus February, when there were still some effects of Omicron, you see Grab's mobility GMV rising 32% over this time frame. And we think that this underscores the demand recovery. Looking ahead, we think that continued recovery of cross-border travel should provide strength for mobility recovery. And where I'm coming from is that, you know, airport rides tend to be higher value and margin. And also we think that tourists have a higher propensity to utilize on-demand transport services than public transport as compared to the locals. And because, you know, from the perspective of tourists, we think that their time is precious. And if I just move on to the delivery side of things, Grab was able to moderate their consumers' incentives on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And this is despite exiting lockdowns. And they have also expressed confidence of being able to continue moderating incentives while growing sustainably. Maybe I could put it another way. Grab's revenue guidance implies some 85% year-on-year growth in 2022. But even if we exclude Jaya, management says that revenue growth would still be north of 50%.
Okay, so Grab prospects looking pretty good in the short to medium term. I do want to focus on one of the current gripes that people are talking about Grab services, and that's the rise in prices. They're seeing a shortage of drivers and high demand with the economy reopening, as you mentioned. How do you see Grab strategizing in terms of price moving forward? It's kind of common knowledge that they underpriced their services in the beginning to gain market share, but moving forward, can they still do this in order to retain users, or is a higher pricing going to be the norm?
Well, you know, I think users are definitely feeling the higher prices. As I hear from friends, they perceive that, you know, there are higher instances of fare surges than in the past, which I do think corroborates with the situation where there are still insufficient drivers to meet demand. So that being said, Grab is still pretty confident of being able to stabilize their driver supply by the second half of this year. Now, there's also the other side of the equation where, you know, fuel prices are higher as well. And we still need to be conscious of the fact that drivers need to be able to make a living. In Singapore, where I'm based at, it's not just Grab that now has higher prices, but we've also seen this across, you know, other ride-hailing platforms as well. And I think as we talk about this, it's sort of, I want to stress that, you know, Grab's pricing strategy is one where they consciously don't price themselves out of competition. And from Grab drivers that I speak to, you know, despite higher prices, demand still seems rather inelastic. During peak times, you know, drivers are equally busy, or if not busier, if we compare to times where we had movement restrictions.
So that 50% revenue growth you saw just now, that was contributed by both price and volume, right? Higher demand across the board. The next follow-up question to that is, you know, how much of that revenue is required to grow in the forward to narrow and reduce its losses to perhaps even profitability? Because we saw Grab narrow its losses to about $435 million. How easy is it for it to be profitable?
Well, going forward, it's not just the revenue that needs to come off. It's also the incentives that needs to come off. And so we're projecting a CAGR of easily in the double-digit percentage growth ranges for their revenue in order to achieve this. And in terms of when they'll break even, we expect them to break even somewhere in the middle of this decade. You know, the key drivers of, again, whether they're able to beat our projections and achieve profitability earlier. We believe one of the key drivers here would be their ability to reduce incentive, of course, amongst other measures. And some of the challenges, you know, we think a key risk to our view would be, especially in the short to medium term, a challenging economic outlook that could translate to, you know, reduced consumer sentiment. And this could slow Grab's growth and/or ability to taper incentives. Where I'm coming from is that maybe, you know, users might choose to cook at home more often, or you know, reduce their or maybe they go out less often, or maybe depending on which country that you're talking about, you know, you choose to take the public transportation service more often than you use ride-hailing services.
And can we maybe zoom out to the broader tech sector? Because over in the US, we're seeing tech stocks generally take a beating in this current economic environment. But I guess, what are the trends about tech that you see in this region?
Well, on Grab and the other internet stock that we cover, they're both listed in the US. They're both loss-making. They have both been sold down quite heavily just this year, as you've mentioned earlier, alongside other US tech stocks. And so I believe inflation and the hawkish monetary policy among key Western central banks appear to be, you know, the key drivers driving this. Grab and CEO are cognizant of this shift in tone. So over the past two quarterly briefings, my perception is they are putting in more effort in telegraphing to investors that they will be judicious in managing the resources that they have. And I suspect this is the case because they understand markets may not be too kind to them if they need to fundraise now. But elsewhere in ASEAN, tech also comprises, you know, tech hardware stocks. So these guys had a lot of tailwinds in 2020 and 2021. But as we come into 2022, I believe net headwinds have increased, I suppose, in the form of inflation and still sticky supply chain issues. So they've not been spared alongside the broader market sell-off as well.
And I think one key development that took place was the award of the digital banking licenses from Bank Negara, and Grab was one of the key recipients there. How much earnings accretive do you expect it to contribute to Grab?
Well, at this juncture, I would go into contributions because, you know, there are a number of details that are not yet available to us to make an informed guesstimate. But what I would say, though, is that it's something that we look forward to from the perspective that for Grab, they are a platform that I believe would do well and maintain their competitive edge from being top of mind, and as well as from having a sticky base of users. And we think that them transitioning, or rather building out the digital financial services space, will be able to help them continue this. And when you're a platform that has a much broader scale and user stickiness, then that helps you retain, or rather it lowers the costs of acquiring new users as well as cost to retain users. And so that's what we think.
Thank you very much, Jean. That was Lai Jean Lee, analyst at Maybank Investment Banking Group, helping us unpack the recent results by Grab and also C Limited. Now we're heading into the news. After that, the Breakfast Grill, where I will be speaking to Dr. Jillian Ooi, seagrass ecologist and senior lecturer at University of Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.